Thank you and a very pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Get Well Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee. And what a pleasure it is each Lord's Day morning to meet with you by means of this broadcast for the truth in love. Indeed, the truth is that which we're searching for. We do not want anything but the truth, and we don't have to have anything but the truth. If we put away the creeds of men and the opinions of men and just take what the Bible says, that, my friend, should be our goal and should be our aim. You know, in Revelation 22:18-19, he said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the things of this book, the words of this prophecy, I will take away his part out of the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. We do not desire then to overlook anything in the truth, nor fail to come up to those things which the truth teaches us to do. So if that's your desire, my friends, you're interested in the work that we do on this program. Because Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. Psalms 119:105. And then verse 130 says, the opening of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. So those who are simply looking for the truth is what he's talking about, and thy word is able to reveal to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It is indeed a pleasure then to turn to the Bible to learn what we're to do and how we're to do it. And I love being a Christian. I hope that you do the same thing. In Acts 11:26, one of the times Christian is used in the text, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Then again, it's used in Acts 26:28, where Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now that's what Paul persuaded people to become, and we also seek to do that. If you're not a Christian today, we certainly hope that you will allow us to persuade you to do those things which the Bible teaches so that you may be a Christian too. Why is it so important? Well, Peter wrote the third time the name Christian in 1 Peter 4:16-18, where he said, yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it began first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous be scarcely saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Well, Peter doesn't answer that question because he realizes the question makes itself so simple, no man can miss the idea. But Paul does answer it in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, where he said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he will take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and admired in them which believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I love being a Christian. I love being a child of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You can enjoy that privilege also. Now, why is it that we should love being a child of the King? Well, first, Christians have a family. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Nothing is so warm and enjoyable as a family. God designed the physical family in the paradise of Eden. In Genesis 2:7, it said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. In verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. So most of us enjoy the blessings from God in our families, don't we? The physical family. But we need to also be a part of that spiritual family. You know, in the New Testament, God gave us that second family relationship with other church members, those who are of like precious faith. If our physical family fails us, God has given us the substitute of a family in Christ. In Mark 10:28-30, Peter began to say unto him, lo, we've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, There's no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So not only are there blessings here because we're in Christ, but there are also blessings eternal. Christians love to sing of this truth. We're part of the family that's been born again, part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Then again, Christians have a function. You know, many of our names need to be enrolled in heaven if we have been obedient. And our foremost purpose in life is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 5:16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Well, when we do those things which the Word of God commands us to do, those are good works. And they also glorify our Heavenly Father, who hath given the words by which we are to walk. In 1 Peter 2:11-12, Peter writes, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that ye may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Therefore, you see, it is our aim to do the word in word and deed all that we do by the authority of Christ our Lord. In Colossians 3:17, well, verse 16 and 17, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." In Acts 4:5-10, "It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and their elders and the scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they said, 'What, by what power, or by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and Israel, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.'" Well, there's one done by the authority of Christ in the healing of the man. In our speech, we must all seek to do those things which the Lord wants. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So it's important that we study and speak in harmony with God's will, not only in our speech, but in our attitudes. In Philippians 2:1-5, he said, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." So not only must our speech be in the authority of Christ, our attitudes must be also there. What about our clothing? Yes, that's very important too for the child of God. In fact, many things identify one as worldly when they are wearing clothing that suggests that. In 1 Timothy 2:9-8-12, he said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, of gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." let the woman learn in silence and with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now he's talking about public worship here, and he does not think that the woman should speak out there in that public worship service. She can sing, she can confess the name of Christ audibly, but she's not to teach or preach. And that, my friends, is not always followed, is it, by those of the world? No, men are to lift up their hands in prayer, and this is the will of God. In 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4, listen to it again. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. This is one of the reasons we love to be Christians, because godly women adorn themselves in godly apparel, and, of course, they're not so suggestive of that which the harlot did in putting gold in her hair or plaiting those hairs so that she might appear to the world worldly. Well, when we're Christians, our speech reflects it, our attitudes reflect it, our clothing reflect it, but then our daily work also does the same. In Colossians 3, 22 through 25, servants, he said, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord, of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons with God. Well, our daily work is important, isn't it? We're not just to work as eye pleasers. In other words, we're not to just work when the boss is looking. But we're to work on a diligence and in a way that we deserve to receive the praise of those about us. Daily work that is important for the Christian. And in all of these things, we should reflect our Lord. In 1 Peter 2, verse 20 through 22, he said, for what glory is it, if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if ye do well, then suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto, he says, were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Well, again, in 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6, John writes, and hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. You know, when you listen to the radio sometimes today, you hear men who say, we know the Lord, but we're not going to keep his commandments. You don't have to keep his commandments. There's no works. And yet, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And here he says, if we say we know him, in other words, we are his friends, we are doing what he says, but we don't keep his commandments, then we're liars, and the truth is not in us. Well, here we find some very important things. I love to be a Christian because I love to be a child of the King, because Christians have a function, and our utmost purpose in life is to bring glory to our Father. But then again, Christians have a future too, and those in Christ have a wonderful future. No matter what their situation is today, their future is bright. When you go to the end of the book of Revelation, he tells about the victory that we have over the world. He tells us how we can live here and live to have that crown of life eternal after this life shall be over. Christians then have a wonderful future, no matter what their situation is today. You see, God's book affirms that Christians' future is bright. You remember Luke 10:20? Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, what a wonderful thing to rejoice over. In 1 Peter 1, verse 1 through 9, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia,